friends, will you join with me in our call to worship? Today we begin a new journey in a new Christian year, a journey of waiting, hoping, and anticipating. With God, we embark on a journey of peace. Today we seek new insights and new understandings. We give thanks for the ways in which God has brought us to this moment. Today, we are clear that we are not alone. God is among us, drawing us into a time of renewal and opening us to a moment of grace. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
I invite you to turn and greet those around you with the peace of Christ, especially reach out to someone you haven't seen in a while or someone that you don't recognize. Well, welcome everyone. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you here. It's wonderful to be with you on this second Sunday in the season of Advent. My name is Kristen. I'm the Minister of Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United. And with me in leadership this morning is our Music Director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, our Organ Scholar, Oscar Hodgkins. Our choir is among you. And joining us today is our minister emeritus, Reverend Doug Norris. We're welcoming you, Doug. And I also see that Heather Norris is here today. It's good to see you, Heather. Yeah. We are here at Rosedale United Church, a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing. Here in the neighborhood and well beyond in our city. And we gather each week to learn and to grow and to serve. And there's so much going on right now in support of human flourishing here that I want to draw your attention to. You can still donate to our warm coat drive. We try and get donated to us 500 warm coats, if we can, every year through people's donations, and we purchase on your behalf or through in-kind donations of warm coats. We distribute these to shelters all over the city, and you can donate to this cause right up until December the 14th. We encourage you to do so. Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m., we're having our annual Christmas carol concert and sing-along. That's for the whole neighborhood. It's pay what you can. And all of the funds that we raise go to supporting the Daily Bread Food Bank. So we hope you can come out to that. It's a wonderful evening. You'll be singing along with our choir and also the Metropolitan Silver Band, which is like a 50-piece, 25, sorry. I wanted to exaggerate it, but that's good. Yeah, it's going to be a big band, okay? So the sound is going to be amazing. So do come out to that. That is just, if you're still feeling like, I got to get into the Christmas, this is how you get into the spirit. It's wonderful. Tidings of Comfort, December 18th. This is at 5:30 p.m. This is a gentle service for those who are living with grief and loss in this season. And again, it's a wonderful service to reach out to, bring a neighbor to, or a friend to. I also want to just highlight that on December 6th, yesterday, was the 111th anniversary of this building, this congregation here. It was the inaugural service on December 6, 1914, of the Northern Congregational Church, which eventually joined the United Church of Canada and became Rosedale United. So that's really cool. 111 years this place has been here doing what we do in all seasons. I want to invite various members of the Moore Pitblado family to light our Advent candles for us.
Last week, we lit the candle of hope. On the second Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of peace. Peace looks like the sun filtering through green leaves. Peace sounds like the song's stars. Peace smells like the crisp air after newly fallen snow. Peace tastes like bread shared. Peace feels like the rough bark of a tree.
Friends, we've come into this moment together to be community together, to draw one week to a close and to begin another, and at this time of the year, in this season. And so I invite you now to take a deep breath, to plant your feet more firmly, to open your heart and to open our minds together to the Spirit who is here moving among us. Let us pray. Gentle Creator, who travels beside us and dwells among us, we gather in this community to feel your embrace. We are waiting and preparing in anticipation, joyful anticipation, for the arrival of your Son, God made flesh, Emmanuel. And so we ask that in this time you be with us and you ready our hearts for the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that arrives with Jesus. Open our senses to your messages today. Open our lives to all the people who are around us this morning and who want to support us as we support them. Open us to feel your grace weaving between us and drawing us closer to you and to each other. We give thanks for this church, this sacred space, 111 years of peace, of learning, of people growing, of people serving, and supporting flourishing in all kinds of different ways over so many years. And so as we open our hearts and prepare for this time together, this worship, we raise to you the prayer that your Son taught us, saying together, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I light this candle, the symbol of Christ among us, and the warmth and the light of community. And opening our theme this morning, I hope that you did get a little ornament when you came in. It should be a little diamond shape and hopefully a pencil. If you didn't get that, you can find it at the entrance. The question this morning is, when have you found peace in an unexpected time, in an unexpected place? When has peace come to meet you and find you when you least expected it? You are invited to write your answer or even a word on your little ornament, and then later on in the service, you'll be invited to come, if you like, and to hang it on our trees to help us decorate for this season. So, peace. In an unexpected time, unexpected place, when have you been met by peace when you least expected it? I invite you into this moment of contemplation as Sarah plays. Thank you.
from two ancient Hebrew writers borrowed by Christians in the season of Advent. We find expressions of the hope for a leader who will bring peace and compassion, a reading from Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. They will hurt not or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And a reading from Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In as many days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. Herein is wisdom. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. While they were living in Nazareth, John the Baptist began preaching out in the Judean wilderness. His constant theme was, Turn from your sins. Turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. Isaiah the prophet had told about John's ministry centuries before. He had written, "I hear a shout from the wilderness. Prepare a road for the Lord. Straighten out the path where he will walk." John's clothing was woven from camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt. His food was locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all over the Jordan Valley, and in fact from every section of Judea, went out to the wilderness to hear him preach. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to be baptized, he denounced them. "You sons of snakes," he warned. "Who said that you could escape the coming wrath of God? Before being baptized, prove that you have turned from sin by doing worthy deeds. Don't try to get by as you are, thinking we are safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That proves nothing. God can change these stones here into children of Abraham." And even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised to chop down every unproductive tree. They will be chopped and burned. "With water, I baptize those who repent of their sins. But someone else is coming far greater than I am, so great that I am not worthy to carry his shoes. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." May God bless to our understanding this reading from the Holy Scriptures.
Thank you, choir, for that. A gift as always. It's good to be back here with you. It's good to be back here in this season. This place is beautiful with the decorations Diane has put together, Jim Pitblado in his exuberant Christmas blazer, as we might have expected, the profound music of the choir. Good to have this home away from home. Well, this is certainly a season of stories, isn't it, that we are in the midst of now. So many narratives circle around us, especially at this time of year. And like any real family, if you don't know the stories, the ancient stories of this family, well, it's hard to figure out, or it's a little hard to belong. Let me start then with a family story. It's a quick one. I think it's a Christmas story. It's a winter story anyway. Full disclosure, I haven't told Heather I'm going to tell this story. She has the car keys, so I might be on a bus back to Algonquin later. It's a winter story. We are visiting Heather's parents on Manitoulin Island. There was a new wood stove. Yeah, she's going already, and she knows the story. There was a new wood stove had just been installed, and at some point in the night, it began to smoke into the house a little bit, and so the smoke alarms went off. Trying to be helpful, I went out into the hall to deal with the alarm, found a chair to stand on, and when the hall light was turned on, and I'm sorry for this image, when the hall light was turned on, there I was in my tidy whities, up on a chair, blowing on the doorbell. Which, in my defense, in the dark, in the smoke, looked a lot like a smoke alarm. So for some members of our family, Dad blowing on the doorbell evokes a certain memory and an image that they will not forget for a while. Advent gives us a series of family stories that might make very little sense to the uninitiated. And the readings for today are a case in point. If you come in here and let's say you're new to this, or you've been here for a long time and you're still trying to sort it out, you are perhaps hungry for meaning, frightened, as some of us are, by the course of events in the world at the moment, and you are searching for a way to find life, thinking to give Jesus and the people of Jesus a try. And on this Sunday, you'll hear this story. A shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. That's a bit cryptic, isn't it, as stories go? Okay, let's try this one from the Gospel. A man calls out in the wilderness. He is wearing animal skins, and he eats grasshoppers and wild honey. Fashion and cuisine. Are you feeling better already? The traditions which eventually lead us to celebrations and light and hope and goodness and gifts and cookies, those traditions wend their way through a tangled thicket of old narratives. And since we are together as part of the family here, we should have a look at some of them. So for today, through those stories that were read, it goes like this. Jesse and David, Isaiah, John the Baptist, and Jesus. Now Jesse is the father of King David, and this is 1,000 years before Jesus, and David, the exemplary king in that tradition of the kings of Israel and Judah. Isaiah, 600 years later, is very excited about the prospect of a new king who will come because things have gone bad for his people, and he wants a new king who will come because the people are in trouble. Now, this is 600 years before Jesus. And John the Baptist, wandering in the wilderness, a bit of a wild character, he thinks that the king that is to come is his cousin Jesus, and he's already here, and he calls people out to join him. the glorious day of a leader who will finally bring peace and compassion and justice. John says, this day is here now. Prepare the way of the Lord. Here's what I see. We have always been looking for a leader who will bring about peace and abundance and mercy. The psalm that was read says, give the king your justice, O God. May he defend the cause of the poor. May righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. They didn't know much about the moon, but they knew it was going to be there for a very long time. Until the moon is no more, let your leader among us bring peace, finally. Always and everywhere, this is the content of spiritual seeking. We want to find the presence and the teachings that will bring into our brief lives a shot at joy, at meaning, at making a difference. As Mary Oliver said, what will you do with your one wild and precious life? We want these years we have to be deep and safe and joyful and courageous, and any less is a grief. And so we seek the ones who will lead us to this way. And the people of Jesus, beginning with John roaring in the wilderness, the people of Jesus believed that he was this one. We believe that he is this one. We have always and everywhere been looking for the one who would lead us to peace. And always and everywhere it fails. It often fails spectacularly. I don't need to name the monsters who have wanted to be kings and have brought only pain and loss, the charlatans who have promised peace and have only brought warfare and hunger and poverty. There have been some valiant and sincere leaders among us. I don't want to demean public service. A few have actually tried to be servants of the people. But on the whole, this has been a D-plus kind of program, hasn't it? It reaches C-minus at times, and as in our day, it sinks below a certain level of decency. So may I suggest that we have this very awkward question. I hesitate to raise it, but here we are. Does Jesus work? Is the whole program of Christianity even moving the needle on human goodness? From Jesse to David, from Isaiah to John, the whole cascading sequence of kings led to this one who finally, when asked, says, but I'm not a king. I'm not a king. Not like you think. You were maybe here 2 weeks ago when Marianna Bell gave the message on what we call Christ the King Sunday, and she adeptly recalled that Jesus said, more or less, I'm not a king like that. Don't be barking up the wrong tree. So what kind of trouble are we in? We who are seeking the one who will lead us to a way that brings life. Well, the beautiful trouble that we are in is that Jesus has flipped things over so that what will lead us into life does not come from above, from a place of power, but from below, from a place of weakness. This is the great irony of this season. That in the hunt for glory, this irony has been smothered by the church in our hunt for magnificence in this season. In the remarkable, noble lineage of David and Jesse and Isaiah and John, the hunt for kingship, what we actually get is the confused and confusing lineage of a child of ambiguous parenting, born into the mud and struggle of rural poverty. The bright star and the angel voices come later. That helps sell the cards. But that's not how the thing starts out. It's lovely varnish on a rough story. Here's the thing Jesus said eventually. I'm not the king. You are. You are in me, and I am in you. This is mystical Jesus saying, and together we are in all that is holy together. I'm not above you. Anything full of peace and mercy and compassion, if anything is going to happen like that, it will happen from underneath. You are the city on a hill. I started with a story. Let me end with one that's nowhere near as embarrassing. From our curling club up north, Dave is one of our really fine curlers. He's a really fine guy. I like learning from him. A couple of weeks ago, we were curling, and a very new curler threw the stone not very well. And halfway down the ice, it was clear it was not going to be of any use, this particular throw. And so I stopped following and walked back to the hack. Here's the thing I love about curling. They've got some really cool language. You've got the hack and the hog and the house, and you're supposed to shout at other people, "Hurry! Hurry hard!" You're supposed to say things like that in this sport. Anyhow, I turned back and went back to the hack, and a few minutes later, Dave offered me some guidance. He said, when a beginner throws a stone, even if it's not going to succeed, stay with it. Walk it through as if it might yet succeed. They'll be encouraged to keep trying. We are beginners, every one of us, in this business of seeking and following a way that leads to life. And when our numbered days have passed, our children and grandchildren will be beginners in this path, standing on our shaky shoulders. So we are to stay with each other, walk beside each other, calling out, shout and sing, in fact, when we see joy and mercy. Cultivate hope. When we gather at the table, as we do now, it is an act of remembering and rehearsing this inverted kingship, this power which is not powerful, recalling that it is royal work to accompany each other and to nourish others. And as we hand and are handed the bread and the cup, we are rehearsing the royal way. Prepare the way of the Lord. May it be so, and we sing together.
Thank you.
Friends, we join in our Eucharistic prayer, our service of communion. There are parts for all of you to take your role in this prayer, and so I invite you to follow along in the bulletin. God is with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. God most holy, we do give you thanks. As we gather at Christ's table, as we remember your love, holy and whole, a love that has held us from the beginning of the beginning, and a love that will hold us for as long as time exists. We need your wisdom, God. We need your guidance. We need your invitation, your calling. Through the voices of prophets and priests, grandmothers and grandfathers, children and infants, all who listen and speak your love. Because we didn't always listen, we don't always listen. You gave to us your Christ, alive in the world, holy God and holy human, a tiny baby, a youth, an adult, a teacher, a healer, a challenger, a savior. He laughed with those who laughed and cried with those who cried. But most of all, he loved us with a love that never ends, a love that surpasses even death, a love that brings new life, not only to us, but to all creation. Alleluia. On the night before he died, Jesus gathered with his friends. He shared with them a meal of remembrance and freedom. After an act of utmost humility and hospitality, washing their feet, he blessed the bread and broke it, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Each time you eat bread, remember me." As the meal drew to a close, he blessed a cup of wine and passed it to them, saying, "Take this and drink it. This is my promise in my life's blood, that sins are forgiven. Each time you drink, remember me." And so we eat, we drink, and we remember. Holy God, send your Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that they and we might truly be Christ's body alive in the world, through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. The gifts of God for all creation. Thanks be to God. Friends, I invite you to come, for all is now ready. And as you come up to receive communion, you're invited to bring your ornament and to hang it as well. We could say that folks who are on this side might like to decorate the trees that are at the top there, and that folks on this side might like to decorate these trees. And if you have mobility issues and stairs are a challenge, then please, whatever side you're on, these will be your trees. This is an open table. All who long to follow in the way of hope, peace, joy, and love are welcome. And all of the bread is gluten-free. friends, let us pray. With the taste of the bread of life, with this taste of the cup of love, send us into the world, God, so that we might whisper your coming, so that we might sing your advent, so that we might live your birth, now and forever. Amen. And friends, we stand and sing, standing in body or spirit. We're singing There's a Voice in the Wilderness. We're singing the first three verses. Friends, the word we have been given this day is peace. May we carry peace on our journey throughout this week, the peace we have encountered and experienced in this place, and the wonderful image we have of supporting each other as we learn and grow in the ways of peace. May we offer this vision to all we meet. May we share the blessing that we have received this day and always. And so we go. Amen. We bless each other as we go singing, O Lord, how shall I meet you?